digitally uploaded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. This is Matt Sainsbury, the editor of digitallydownloaded.net. And with me this week, there is Alan, as usual.
Hello, guys.
And Harvard, who is one of the other contributors to Digitally Downloaded.
Hello.
Okie dokie. So it's E3 this week, coming week. We're actually recording this podcast before E3, but we are going to talk about it anyway, even though the podcast is going to be live after the event starts. So we're going to make a bit of a game this week to see just how accurate our predictions can be. Let's see how we can be Michael Pachter's for a week. So we'll jump to some music, come back, and start talking about E3. Not because it's great. Okay, so E3. As usual, there's been, I guess, some pre-E3 announcements as developers, publishers, and so on have been keen on getting their information out before it gets drowned out amongst everything else that's announced for the show. So we do know some stuff, and I thought for the first segment of the podcast this week, we could talk about the stuff that we do know. I guess the first thing that we all know about by now is, a couple of game announcements first. We are 99% sure that there's going to be a Skyrim HD, if you like, remaster, as Bethesda works up towards what we assume is Elder Scrolls 6. I think that is going to be good. I thought it was already a pretty good looking game on the PS3 and still holds up well on the old generation of consoles, so I don't know how much of a value it's going to be unless they throw in a whole lot of extra DLC and stuff, but you know, always up for some more Elder Scrolls. That's that.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure who this game's for, honestly. Because everyone by now owns a copy of Skyrim, and I don't know why you'd bother to just not play it on PC at this point, with all the DLC and everything. It's a bit interesting. I don't personally feel it's going to do anything other than just be like a sort of, I'm not going to say downloadable, but like a discount downloadable sort of game, like a $20, $25 game. And I think it's just to gauge interest in Elder Scrolls 6, which they don't really need to do either, because it's Elder Scrolls 6. Like, I don't know who, like, this is actually for, and, like, it's very confusing to me, and I don't like it. And I think it's silly.
Well, it's, I guess it's a new generation of console hardware and all that kind of stuff, so there probably are some newer players out there who probably haven't played an Elder Scrolls game before. So I guess this is Bethesda's way of introducing them to the series before they go and invest, you know, the mega millions of bucks in trying to get everyone to play the next one. So that would be my assumption anyway. I doubt they're expecting it to be as much of an impact as, you know, Skyrim did when it was first released, but yeah, it's an upgrade to go with the upgrading consoles. And yeah, once again, any more Elder Scrolls is always a good thing. Another game that is announced that is new is an Injustice 2. I guess we probably assumed that was coming, given that Injustice did quite well. But that's the DC Smash Brothers of sorts by the Mortal Kombat guys. And that should be pretty good.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
that should be really good. I loved Injustice 1. Like, Injustice 1's great. And I really want to see what they do with it. And I know a lot of people hate the Elseworld tale that they're telling with Injustice, but I really like it. Mostly because I don't like Superman, because I think he's dumb. But, you know, that's just me. But I'm really interested to see how they do this RPG thing that they're talking about. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, JRPGs infiltrating other genres a while ago, and this is probably the most aggressive form of RPG infiltration that I've ever seen. And I'm not even sure it's going to be really a fighting game anymore, and more just like a ARPG with fighting game combat.
Well, I mean, I quite liked the narrative of the first Injustice. It's not that fighting games generally have particularly good narratives, but I thought this one was really quite interesting. And before we started getting all those DC movies and TV shows, you know, this was, I guess, a taste of the darker take on the comic book genre or the superhero genre that the DC universe would take. So I thought that was entirely fitting as a kind of preemption to what was going to come afterwards in the movies and TV shows. And I thought it was really effective. I thought the casting of Superman as a villain was quite interesting. And yeah, if they can keep that going with the next one, they backed it up with the first one with obviously some particularly brutal combat, which was really pushing the boundaries of what you would have expected from a superhero, anything back in that when it was first released. So yeah, hopefully they can continue that going with this one. It's once again, it's by the Mortal Kombat guys, so it's almost definitely going to be quite violent, quite aggressive, quite dark. So yeah, look forward to seeing more of that at E3. I don't know, have you ever played any of these games, Harvard?
No, to be honest, I'm never really a big fan of Mortal Kombat. I got a lot into the Japanese style of fighting games, so
yeah,
the Western style is so different and like it emphasizes so many different things that it just feels wrong to me.
Yeah, MK is a bit more like, I guess it's a bit more rigid compared to the sort of free-flowing.
Yeah, it's a very good way to describe it, yeah.
I mean, I know, but I started off with a lot of Western fighting games. And then I've been playing a lot of Skullgirls recently because it's great. And I can't play that game at all, and I'm terrible at it. And it's because I keep trying to play it like I play MKX or whatever. And it's throwing me off so much that it's really hard to sort of get around that sort of game. And I think that it's a very, very hard balance to sort of strike when you have a game like around a DC property. You have to make it very universal. And I'm very interested to see how they do that this time around because MK fighting style is very... It's a bit hard to understand initially because there's no real, I don't know, flow and like player agency within combos, I guess. Like, would you agree with this? Or
yeah, I kind of noticed. It was just about like landing big hits, but it wasn't like, there wasn't that kind of interaction with your opponent. It was just more like getting everything done.
Yeah, exactly. And I think probably one of the greatest next games to come out, and that's been announced in the last couple of days, that we know very little about, and it's probably in the exact same vein as the original, but Watch Dogs 2 is coming out, and everyone sighed a collective sigh of, oh god, here we go again.
I guess, I mean, Watch Dogs is the very standard, very generic kind of open world game.
It's the Ubisoft game.
Yeah, it didn't really appeal to me. I do like that they've gone and cast an African American or black protagonist this time around. I thought that was a nice move by Ubisoft and a nice touch. You know, that company's been given a lot of flack over the years, especially for Assassin's Creed, for being quite monocultural in its approach in terms of, you know, effectively white characters leading most of the major games. So to do that with Watch Dogs, which is a major property for them, and one that they'll have very high expectations to sell lots of copies with, is it's nice to see. I'm very kind of positive on that. Other than that, though, I have absolutely no interest in the game.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys watched the huge, like, 20-minute reveal thing that they did, but there was maybe, like, 5 minutes of gameplay in that. And I bet money that it's not going to look anywhere near as nice as it did there, because it is gorgeous, and I have very, very low expectations after the most bland and boring game in the world that was Watch Dogs 1. Yeah.
It's definitely a trap that Ubisoft falls into nowadays. It's like, they have these big out there ideas, especially with The Division as well, and they go in there and then they want to cater to everybody, and their way of doing that is to just make it really bland.
And make it the Ubisoft game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, if there are towers in this that you have to climb and, like, use to unlock parts of the map, I'm going to throw my computer at them. I'm sick of that. They did it in Project Cars or something. No, not Project Cars.
The Crew.
The Crew. Yeah. They did that in The Crew. They had a car game where you went to towers. I have no words for how boring this is. But yeah, it has drones and stuff this time around, and it's set in San Fran, which is interesting at least. It could be alright.
I mean, in theory, Watch Dogs should be pretty interesting, because it is quite heavily focused on, you know, the idea of surveillance and the interaction that people have with technology and the way that that can be used or corrupted for, you know, when power groups take control of the technology and all that kind of stuff. It's an interesting idea. It's certainly relevant and timely and worth exploring through any kind of artistic medium, I guess. But yeah, I think in Ubisoft's desperate attempt to sell this game to every single person on the planet, they don't really take any kind of innovations or any steps towards doing something unique. And that's a problem, I think, for the series. It dilutes the message a lot. And you end up with some really annoying character like Aiden, who
has no personality.
Yeah, other than being annoying, you know, it's just not a good character. And I hope that they've learned some lessons with the next one. I don't have a great deal of interest in the game, but if it surprises me, then, you know, I'll check it out when it gets close to launch and I start to hear some of the release reviews, and I might get a little bit interested in it. I'm not discounting the game entirely. I just, yeah, I don't have any faith in it at this stage.
Well, I mean, are they going to have Aiden Pierce's iconic baseball cap again?
Well, they've covered the face of this guy.
Oh, yeah. How good. Yeah, so that's probably one of the newest sort of games to come out recently. Not to be announced recently. I'm not really sure if I can talk about much else because I need to be paying attention a bit more.
I mean, Nintendo's doing a little bit more than it promised. We already know that there's going to be more than Zelda at the show now, with the new Pokemons are going to be there, I believe.
Yes.
Which is good. Always up for more Pokemons, and what we know of Pokemon Sun and Moon, which again is the worst acronym when you use.
It's like catering to fans.
Really bad idea. Nintendo really should have thought that one. Game Freak really should have thought that through a little bit better. But anyway,
problem with this whole thing is that they sat through and they were like, this is okay. This is a thing what you should do. And no one sat down and was like, wait, hold on. How can this be misconstrued? And well, no one like thought of S&M.
Well, it's not like even you can't even chalk this out enough to, you know, Japanese developers not really understanding the English language. This exists over there as well. They do know what S&M means everywhere. So
it's actually weirder, like, over there. They use it as part of their personality. Like, it's not as, I don't know, explicit as you would consider it here.
It's just...
Yeah.
It's very confusing, and I cannot begin to explain how many jokes have been going around just being like, oh, Pokemon S&M, Rowlet, haha.
Well, hopefully, sort of humor. Hopefully, E3 Nintendo of America takes advantage of this in full and draws massive crowds by doing some really weird stuff. That would be cool.
Oh, that would be so weird.
That would be weirder than the here's a TV that looks like an Apple thing. I went back and watched a couple of old E3s recently, just because I thought it'd be funny. And oh god, Konami's press conference in 2010 is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and it's so bizarre and so awkward. And I really hope that no one ever does that again. Because I don't know if I learned anything from that press conference, and I'm from the future, and I know what happened.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen somehow. I think we'll be right. but yeah, okay, so we might jump to some music and then come back, since we're on the topic now of conferences, and talk about what we... let's make some predictions about what we'll see from, well, Sony, Microsoft, and yeah. That's about it, doing the presentations that we're really keen on. But yeah, let's have a talk about what we can expect to see from those. A track from Knights of Azure. Good music, good game, go play. So, conferences, shows. Obviously, E3 is most popular because people sit down and watch these hour to hour and a half to 2 hour long presentations about everything that our favorite companies all have coming over the next year. And this year we have the usual suspects. Unfortunately, Square Enix isn't running the show, probably more because they've already had shown off everything they need to over the last year, and then the Final Fantasy 15 reveal earlier in the year. Probably didn't see it necessary to do another one. But of those companies that do have shows going, let's quickly talk about what we might expect to see from it, and we'll do a little bit of a scorecard and just see how right we were when the actual show runs around. So, Ubisoft, we've already talked about Watch Dogs 2. We can almost certainly see that there, I would say. I guess we'll probably see some Just Dance, some random people doing some crazy jig for whatever this year's iteration of Just Dance will bring to the party. We'll probably get some information on some kind of Assassin's Creed thing, maybe the movie even, given that they don't have a game coming this year.
I also want to see For Honor.
Sorry, what was that?
For Honor.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's that multiplayer fighting mashup thing.
And it looks pretty interesting, and I'd hope they don't water it down with bland Ubisoftness. And I really hope they go for it because it looks radical and I want to see more of it. Because especially with everyone on the Overwatch train, I want to see how people react to that and how like people develop off of Overwatch. And I want to see if they do anything interesting because it has been a while since we've seen that game.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have D.Va, so that's automatically a strike against.
That is true. That is 100% true. And keep seeing you post just random pictures of D.Va on Twitter. If yeah, you do follow Digitally Downloaded on Twitter, please note all the D.Va pictures, because there are plenty, and it's most of my newsfeed now.
But yeah, I mean, this is obviously going to be a very violent, very bloody, very more based, I guess, on history than absolute fantasy. It vaguely looks like it's Vikings and stuff, isn't it?
It's Vikings, samurai, and something else, I believe.
Yeah.
I think it's something else. I'm going to quickly Google that. Hold on.
I mean, to me, it looks like it's going to be an extent or a play on the Chivalry series, which is okay. That's cool. Chivalry is not so bad. And yeah, it's going to be multiplayer only, which is always a strike against it. But hopefully we get a firm release date, at least from E3. Yeah, some more footage would be nice. Other than that, I don't think there's too much to say about Ubisoft. Harvard, you looking forward to that for sure?
I think that kind of just says all I want to say about it, really.
Yep, fair enough.
Okay, so Ubisoft, EA.
EA.
Too many E's. EA. EA is going to be Battlefield 1, yippee, woohoo, whatever.
Hooray. I'm actually excited for that. And also, I would like to quickly point out in this very thing that probably no one cares about, but FIFA 17 is now using the Frostbite engine, which I'm very interested in seeing because it's going to be janky. And I'm going to laugh at it.
Yeah, I don't get this Frostbite engine. They keep talking about it being something special, and it's not. It's not a good engine, I'm convinced. I don't like it. I don't like any of the games that it's produced.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I'll correct that. I like Mirror's Edge. I'm playing through it now. It's good. I'm enjoying it a lot. I do not like the engine that it's running on.
I love that sort of, weighty sort of game, though, so I'm interested to see how they do that with soccer, of all things. Interesting. I just hope they get Pele back. I want them to have Pele back again.
Well, I like FIFA. FIFA's doing some good stuff. The inclusion of women's teams last year was really nice. Nice touch. Hopefully they can build on that more and get more teams in. There'll be the usual improvements. FIFA's a big deal for EA, whether you play it or not. It's a big deal. So they're going to spend a lot of time on it, and as they should, because there are a lot of people that like it. As goes for their other sports game, I guess we'll probably see a little bit more of NHL, whatever. And, well, NBA's got a long way to go, I guess, before it's...
NBA's 2K now.
Sorry?
NBA's 2K now.
Sorry, the other... which is the one that EA puts together?
I don't think they're... Wait, is there?
NBA Live.
Oh, NBA Live is a game. Oh, I forgot about that. I have not heard anything about that.
Well, the last two haven't been very good at all, so EA's still got a long way to go with that. And hopefully they're able to pull that together because it would be good. I like when there's competition. I like that there's PES for FIFA. And I like the idea of there being a decent competitor in the basketball space for NBA, 2K, whatever. I'd like to see EA do a couple more sports games, actually. EA should bring back the cricket series they did. That would be awesome.
They should also bring back SSX. That would be my ultimate game. This would be the best E3 if they brought back... EA Big and SSX, because that would make my entire world so much better.
Now saying that, they'll probably be like EA Lawn Bowls or something.
Oh, God's sakes. It'll be the sequel to the reboot of SSX, which I never want to see again in my life.
But yeah, I don't know what else we can probably expect from EA this year. There will be stuff. But
Yarn Unraveled 2 as well.
Has that been confirmed?
They've hinted that it's very much a possibility because the first one did quite well, which is great because that game was very pretty and I liked it.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that EA got rewarded for putting some money into that, because it's nice to see when the big publishers back some independent work.
Mm. Actually, just going back to the Ubisoft thing, I want to see more UbiArt Engine games. I want to see another Valiant Hearts style game, maybe like Vietnam War or something. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, that's true. What's the last UbiArt game they made? Was it Grow Home?
Maybe. Maybe it's
that
actually...
That was a while ago.
Oh, Grow Home wasn't UbiArt, I don't think, was it?
Maybe it won't. I don't think it...
Because UbiArt can only do 2D. It does not work for 3D games. It's purely...
And if it wasn't, then the last one would have been like Child of Light or something.
Yeah, Child of Light.
Valiant Hearts, I think, came after Child of Light.
No, Valiant Hearts was ages before Child of Light.
No, it was after.
Was it?
Yeah, guaranteed.
Darn.
Because I remember the order I played them. It was definitely Child of Light. Child of Light 2 is something they've been hinting at for a while. That might happen. That would be good.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I sort of see more of that engine. I love it. It's so pretty.
It's so good for, like, standalone games. I don't see why they would, like, make a sequel series on that. I feel like that would be wasting the potential of that engine.
That's a good point. I do agree, actually. Perhaps not... I mean, Child of Light 2, when I say it, like a Child of Light 2, but not with the same characters or same thing, just using, I guess, the same world, the same kind of fairy tale context to do some more storytelling would be nice. It would be nice if it wasn't even called Child of Light 2, but yeah, that kind of game I would like to see Ubisoft do something again with.
Yeah.
What I can't understand, and it really annoys me to be honest, is why that Assassin's Creed Chronicles series did not use the UbiArt engine.
It's so weird.
They really liked some doing the sort of 3D, not really 3D thing in those games, which is... I had something I really didn't like about that series, which was just that they kept trying to make it feel 3D in like a big, full 3D world when it was very clear that it wasn't. Mm. So they had all these sequences where you had to like jump into the background or do these weird things that like shoot boxes in the distance or whatever, and it just felt 3D, but it also felt like it wasn't. It just...
It was a bit too restrictive. I get what you mean. It tempted you with like this concept of a greater world, but then was like, no, you're not going there. You're sticking on this 2D plane. And I feel like that was the biggest holdback for it.
And I think if they had used the UbiArt framework, not only would it have looked better, but there wouldn't be that sense of 3D. The developers would have worked with a purely 2D, I guess, environment and engine, and it would have been better, I do think.
Well, I mean, that, I think, was... Which was the one with a huge amount of colour? That was the India one, right?
India,
yeah. Imagine if that was in UbiArt. That would have been beautiful.
Or the Russian one, the whole Soviet propaganda art style that they used for that.
That would have been really, really good.
Even more rich in colour and even more vibrant with the UbiArt framework would have been just amazing. Like, it would have been one of the best.
Yeah, it could have had, like, running across a propaganda poster or something. Just like looking
Like
that.
It would have been amazing.
They didn't even need to go realistic. They could have gone as stylistic or as surreal as they wanted to. That would have added to the game so much more.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. So Ubisoft, if you're listening,
UbiArt, please.
More Assassin's Creed game, Chronicles games, but using the UbiArt framework. Okay, that's cool. Okay.
I think our main advice for Ubisoft is just like, don't be Ubisoft. Be that little kind of tiny division you have in the corner that makes games instead of the giant big company that does the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. Stick to the indie stuff, Ubisoft. You don't know how to make blockbusters. Okay, so that's EA. What else is there? Bethesda, we talked about briefly. There's going to be a lot of Elder Scrolls stuff. One thing that I am looking forward to, the only thing I was looking forward to based on the Bethesda show last year, which never emerged, was the Elder Scrolls card game, collectible card game, that was announced for mobile devices. Really keen on that. Really looking forward to seeing a little bit more of that, hopefully, because... Yes, I like to see collectible card games. I've kind of turned off a bit with the way Hearthstone has gone, and Might and Magic Call of Champions or Duel of Champions or whatever it's called. The Ubisoft one has kind of died away a bit too. So it would be nice for a new new mobile CCG to play around with. I'm kind of hoping Bethesda can fill that with the Elder Scrolls one. We might get a trailer or something for Elder Scrolls 6, which would be nice. That's about it for Bethesda, I think. There'll probably be some kind of tease about Doom 2, but I'm not allowed to talk about Doom. So
that'd be really early to tease Doom 2 right after the
It'll be like DLC. It won't be Doom 2. I very much doubt it'll be Doom 2. Doom's already made a pretty substantial amount of money, so I don't think it'll be trying to like sort of swat it away initially.
There's going to be like more Doom coming for sure. I mean, it was it outsold in America at least. It outsold Overwatch this month. That being Overwatch came a week and a half later, so it had an extra 10 days or whatever to sell, but it did outsell. It was the number two game of the month.
There's something wildly uncomfortable about the fact that Doom is the best-selling game.
It's better than Battleborn. If Battleborn was the best-selling game, I would be throwing the entire games industry out of the window for being
the worst. Battleborn came fourth, I believe, in America.
Oh, God.
It was up there.
I would also like to point out in my little Battleborn mocking thing that they slashed prices everywhere of Battleborn as soon as Overwatch came out. Which is hilarious, but I also feel bad because people worked on that game.
There was some, like, a couple of years ago, somebody threw together the most painfully ugly, it was a mock screenshot for a first-person shooter that was painfully ugly and deliberately bad. And you can actually compare it to a Battleborn screenshot, and they look almost exactly the same.
Oh,
so
God.
That's how poorly that game was designed. And once again, it doesn't have D.Va, so yeah.
It instead has bland, boring characters and then the same writing from Borderlands but condensed into chunks of disgustingness.
Yeah, so anyway, we're not here to talk about Gearbox. No one wants to talk about Gearbox.
Borderlands 3 might be coming.
Yeah, but we don't know. That'd be kind of revealed at the Microsoft or Sony event.
You're right. Which
because it wouldn't be published by Bethesda or EA or Ubisoft. Oh, one other one quickly before we jump to a break and talk about Sony and Microsoft. We're going to see almost certainly some Mass Effect with EA's show.
Yes.
The new Mass Effect. And that's going to be good.
Mm. Garden Warfare 3 is hopeful as well. Garden Warfare is actually great. Like I don't know why people hate it on it so much. It's actually like a solid, solid game, and I want to see what they do next.
Okay.
It's all that I have left.
I think Massive going to throw out Titanfall as well.
Oh, yes, Titanfall 2, yes.
That's going to be cool. I really like Titanfall 1, so I am excited. Especially if they add more like Gundam sort of sword stuff into it, which would be rad. I'd be very excited if they did that. A lot of people hated on Titanfall 1 for having no content, but, like, it has the same amount of content that you'd expect with most sort of modern games at this point. It was just that it was all in multiplayer, which is why people just immediately hate on it. If they take the core combat from Titanfall, which, let's be honest, influenced about 4 years' worth of modern military shooters, and if they sort of build on that and, you know, create a world that's a bit more interesting than just some things off in the background, then it could be really, really cool. I just hope that EA really pays attention to it.
It would probably help that I would suspect that Titanfall 2 will be a cross-platform release this time rather than a single platform. And that would be good. I guess EA will be able to throw a little bit more money at it and make sure it's a little bit more refined. Whoever developed it on behalf of EA, with EA's money. But anyway, it'll probably be a bigger experience, probably be a better one. I can't see myself playing it personally. I'm happy with Overwatch as my first-person shooter online kind of game. I don't see anything kind of taking over that anytime soon, but it's good there. It's good that it'll come for the fans.
Yeah, for sure.
And mostly Mass Effect.
Yes.
Mass Effect, Mass Effect, Mass Effect.
I really wonder what direction they're going to go with the new Mass Effects. Like, they kind of have a blank slate now, don't they? They could just look at whatever they want to go.
Ideally, I would want a horror game, but that's because I want more Dead Space, but they've kind of destroyed Dead Space.
No, not a horror game. I mean, Mass Effect went from being a pure RPG in the first one to being much more a shooter with some light kind of RPG elements and a lot of story in the third one. I'm not complaining about that. I thought the third one was a spectacular game, and I think BioWare nailed what they needed to do a shooter, but with a RPG-style story context. But like, you know, like Harvard said, the new one is a completely blank slate. It's not going to be Shepard. We already know that. It's going to be new story within the universe, which is great. And hopefully it doesn't have the Reapers as a villain. Hopefully it's a different threat to the universe, which would be great. And my only concern, I guess, is if it goes further in terms of replacing the RPG stuff with the shooter stuff than it did in Mass Effect 3, I might start to lose a little bit of interest in it, because I do want that context of it being a BioWare game rather than an EA shooter.
Yeah, like, I guess. I still think that 2 is the best game in the series by far.
2 was brilliant. I mean, they're all... Like, I really honestly thought that all three were merit, like, had merit, a lot of merit, were all worthwhile games. And frankly, I felt if you're going to play Mass Effect, especially now and you haven't yet, you do need to play all three of them and just kind of wade through the crap that's in the first one to enjoy the other two. But you do need to play all three of them because it is a single experience. And yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got to have Garrus back in some capacity.
Oh, yeah, if he's not in there, I'm starting a riot.
Yeah, if Garrus isn't there, that's it. It's all over. For the end, as far as I'm concerned. Mega Dimension Neptunia, VII. which is also great. We're playing that this week because in the very near future, we've got Fairy Fencer F coming from Compile Heart, and we're going to probably talk about that a bit when that lands as well, because that's shaping up to be a really good game. All right, so E3, the big two this year, in the absence of Nintendo doing anything really, we've got Microsoft and Sony. So Microsoft, we actually don't know a whole lot about what Microsoft is planning to show off at E3 this year, other than we suspect hardware, some new hardware, a revision of the Xbox One, and Gears of War. Will we see Gears of War? Probably.
And Scalebound as well.
Ah, Scalebound, yes. There we go. The one and only Japanese game that they can be bothered financing.
Because it looks rad and it's done by Kamiya, and anything done by Kamiya deserves infinite praise, like, instantly. Because we owe him, like, 10 years of praise. I would really like to see just a revival of pretty much all of the Capcom 5 just on a modern console. Even the ones that didn't come out, just bring them out, don't even care. Don't care if they're terrible. I want a Capcom 5.
Not going to happen, dude.
I know. I want it, though.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's about time now we kind of need to start worrying about what Microsoft's actually doing with the console space, because it doesn't seem to be wholly interested in it anymore.
It's Forza.
Well, the thing is that Microsoft is so busy throwing all this stuff on PC as well, and it's Windows 10 platform, which absolutely no one wants to be on, but they insist that everybody is on it. There doesn't seem to be much place in Microsoft for the Xbox One in terms of its strategy, even around the games. It would rather you be playing them on your PC on Windows 10 than playing it on your Xbox. The other thing to consider, I guess, is that this has all come ever since the new CEO took over Microsoft. When you take into account the amount of time that it takes a CEO of such a large company to start affecting changes towards his own vision for the company, now would be about the time if the Xbox One is going to be phased out or dumped. Now would be the time that we start to see that process happening, and it does look like that process is happening. So this E3, in terms of just my confidence that Microsoft is even going to hang around in the game space, in the console space, is going to be critical, and Microsoft needs to have an awful lot of big surprises about what it's throwing at console games and the console gaming space before I'm going to be convinced that the Xbox One, Xbox as a brand, has a future. So yes, it's going to be interesting, not because I am particularly interested in the Xbox One. I still don't even have the console because the number of games on it that I'm interested in that I can't get on other platforms is pretty minimal. But I need to see a lot from Microsoft. Otherwise, I'm just going to assume that we're going to be down to two consoles in the not-too-distant future.
On that note, though, the interesting thing is that they're going to bring out Halo Wars 2, right? And
yes!
The thing of that game is that it's actually... it's an RTS game, and RTS is like the PC genre, and they're specifically molding it to the Xbox One. I think that kind of decision really shows support for the console.
It does, but it's one game, if you know what I mean. Microsoft kind of has to keep supporting the Xbox for the Xbox One, at least, for a while yet. I mean, it can't just up and dump it straight away, and it needs to show that it's working on games. I don't see Halo Reach as being a massive, massive franchise that, you know, of the same scale of some of the other stuff that it does. And it just seems to me, I mean, it closed Lionhead Studios. Who knows what's happening with Fable. Halo, we don't know anything more about the next Halo because, you know, the last one was relatively recently released. Gears of War, yes, but Gears of War will be also on my Windows 10 as far as I'm aware. So, and once again, they just keep forcing people to get onto this Windows 10 platform. And all the communications I get from Microsoft is all about Windows 10 at the moment. So it's just an interesting time, I think, for Microsoft and the Xbox brand. My personal feeling is, once again, the CEO is just not interested in that side of things, so that is not a good sign for it.
And I think this is probably a good point to move on to Sony, because they actually do seem like they care, which is lovely, because yes, they're releasing a lot of interesting games in the future.
Well, I mean, Sony kind of has to care because otherwise Sony wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
100%. Every other division in Sony's failing, so they just throw everything at PlayStation, which just happens to be a runaway success for them. So, good on Sony. I think everybody here is looking forward to at least something from Sony. We're probably going to see a lot of stuff that we saw last year, but at a much more progressed state, starting with giant robot hunting game thing.
Yes.
Dinosaurs.
Yes. The dinosaurs game. Giant robot dinosaur game.
That's the one. Giant robot dinosaur game. Yes.
More probably known as Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. No one cares about the real name, Alan. But yeah, it looks good. We saw a trailer for it already, so they'll probably play that trailer again at this show because, you know, that fills up minutes of the floor time. But it looks good. I can't see how anybody could possibly look at that and not be interested in it.
It literally has everything you want.
Oh, the thing that worries me is developers who make Killzone. And the thing with me is, like, Killzone and Gears of War from Microsoft side are, like, the two first-person shooter franchises that are, like, okay, but I don't really care about. And I'm not sure if a lot of people, like, no one really says my favorite game on PS4 is Killzone or my favorite game on Xbox is Gears of War. They'll like it, but it's not going to be amazing. So for this studio to be doing something this ambitious, and even, like, I think I read it's the first RPG-style game that they're trying to make or something. It's a lot of uncharted territory for them, I think, which might be a bit worrying.
Or you could look at it another way, I guess, and say, well, this is a chance for them to actually do something that they can do well.
Well, they actually want to do.
That's true.
Because, I mean, one thing they do well is, like, the technical side of stuff. They've always done absolutely amazingly with making games look good and be very technically proficient. So,
and they've always done that weighty feeling as well, which I feel like is very underrated. Killzone just feels wonderful to play most of the time. Even the Vita game plays exceedingly well, which we talked about last week. Go to last week's podcast. and yeah, I have high hopes, but I've seen nothing, so I'm not going to say buy this game on release, because don't do that. And I actually, if you pre-order any games based off E3, I don't know what you're doing with your money, and don't please do that. Please don't do that. Don't do another Watch Dogs. Please. Having said that, though, if there's a new Miyazaki game coming out, then pre-order that instantly.
Oh, that's the big rumor, isn't there? You know,
I hope so. I very much hope so. I mean, Sony's been really pushing From Software and Miyazaki's games quite heavily recently, so I'd be surprised to see if they didn't, you know, have anything alongside that. And sort of on that train of thought as well, Hideo Kojima might pop up and be a bit of a tease about his new project and his new characters and whatever, and stuff like that. That'd be really cool. I mean,
well, that's Kojima. A game that'll be released in 2047.
Yes. Yes, we'll be hearing about it for the next 20 years. Kojima will die and it'll be his, like, death. Like, on his deathbed, he'll hand over a single copy of the game to be distributed. I'd actually be really, really, like, it would not surprise me. Kojima would just do something dramatic like that. And then would just do the thing from Pan's Labyrinth with the eyes on his hands. Again.
I mean, I would expect if Square Enix is going to have a place in the show, they'll probably take some time up on stage with Sony.
Yeah, definitely.
And that would be cool. I don't need to see any more of Final Fantasy XV. I've seen enough of that one to know, you know, what I need to know about it. I want to see actual gameplay footage of Nier 2, whatever the hell that's Nier, or
yes.
Automata, or whatever it's called.
Automata.
So I want to see that. I actually want to see that game in motion now. And that will, you know, win Game of the Show for me. If it does, just by being
if Square Enix gets up, I really want to see them show a bit more of Mankind Divided as well, Deus Ex.
Yes.
Because that's going to be such a competitor to other sci-fi games. Watch Dogs. That's going to destroy Watch Dogs in the sci-fi department. And it, like, the ideas they have for that are just so incredible, and use existing science fiction stories, but in a way that's so relevant to our modern day. And it can get very emotional, which is something that I didn't feel the original Deus Ex did that well. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that.
You completely reminded me of the fact that Deus Ex exists, and I'm so excited for that game, and it looks wonderful. And I don't know if you guys saw the cinematic trailer for it, it was released a while ago, but it's absolutely really, really interesting sort of stuff that they're sort of tapping into, and I really hope that Sony, you know, or even if Microsoft has it in their conference, that'd be cool, because I just want to see more of that game, because it looks awesome. And because it's coming up to release as well.
August,
it's going to be
so...
pushed. Yeah, it's going to be pushed
months, but
very,
not
very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, Adam
we'll
Jensen's
see...
back in it. It's all I need.
Also at Sony, we'll probably see a little bit of Shenmue 3, at least some kind of indication that it's still underway, which would be good.
Yeah.
For all the controversy that the game went through, the fundamental fact that there is a Shenmue 3 in development is really good to hear, really good to know. Really nice touch that it's involved, that Sony's getting involved with that. So yes, that's good. We'll probably get an update on how the... what's the name of it? Shadows of the Beast? No, not that one.
Shadow of the Beast? Isn't that the one that came out a couple...
No, not Shadow of the Beast. I've got that stuck in my head now. The Shadows of the Colossus guy, his new one.
Last Guardian. And it's going to disappoint everyone.
No, it's not. I think it's...
I want a dream. The guys know what they're doing. Like, I know it's been, 12 years since they've released anything, but come on, it's going to be good.
It's the director. I mean, there's no way you can possibly bet against that director, as far as I'm concerned. He's up there with Yoko Taro-san as one of the greatest minds in the games industry from a games as art perspective. So I have no concerns that the fact he's been able to take this long to work on it actually is a positive thing for me. It's not like these guys are useless developers like the Duke Nukem guys. Like, he's actually smart. So the fact he hasn't rushed this out and the fact that Sony's backed him to work on it is a good sign. So I've got every confidence in the world that this is going to be a great game.
Yeah, I hope that it has a soundtrack that's good.
It will,
but, you know, that's all I really care about at this point.
It will. It'll all be good.
Just don't worry that people are going to jump onto the technical side of it over anything else, because, like, looking at footage of the game, it doesn't look something that's going to be fun. It's going to be less gamey than Shadow of the Colossus was, and that wasn't even that gamey in itself. It's going to be a real stand-up, for sure.
Yeah,
It'll be interesting to see how it's reacted to as well, just by the general populace.
Yeah, there will be people that will not get along with this, and they'll call it all kinds of pejoratives, like Walking Simulator or whatever the hell they want to throw at it. But, you know, who cares about them? They don't know what they're talking about.
The Naughty Dog game as well, probably. Even if it's just a teaser.
Possibly.
Would be nice.
What we might see would be really cool is David Cage's new one.
Oh, Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
Whoa, I did not think about that, but now I'm excited.
It'll be about time for them to start showing that off, so that would be good.
It doesn't have Willem Dafoe, though, so I can't say that I'm excited.
Oh, how can you not be excited about David Cage?
I feel like every game should just have a version of Willem Dafoe, and if it's just the Spider-Man 1 version of Willem Dafoe, that'll be the best thing in the world. Just him losing his mind constantly every single game.
We'll
Especially
probably see
in all the JRPGs.
We'll probably see a little bit more of Dreams, Media Molecules
yes.
one, which would
oh,
be
yes.
great. That'll
be
lovely.
Be wonderful. It'll be
yeah,
that Dreams quite terrifies me because it's the next level to Little Big Planet and like the world building games. The amount of complexity that goes into designing that is really quite immense. Like, I was watching someone try to develop a character, and it looks like you're knitting with the PlayStation Move. It's like weaving together all these different polygons and models, and it takes like hours to make one character. It sounds very in depth.
I like the
idea
of that.
Yeah, that's what I want. That sounds really cool. I'm the sort of guy who sits down in a character creator and makes something. And like that sort of idea of having a game built around creating a world would be really, really cool, because that's what basically Minecraft was, and look at what that did.
Definitely keen on that.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we can expect. I mean, Sony will have some like indie stuff up there as well, which will be great. Sony does like to support their indies, and there's always a couple of little surprises that they throw in there along the way, because that's what Sony likes to do.
Bloodborne 2,
maybe. I hope instead they've like financed Miyazaki's son to do like some sci-fi horror game.
That'd be cool. If it was like Bloodborne set in space.
Or Star Wars. Star Wars Bloodborne style would be just great.
Star Blood.
This might not be what you're looking for, but the guys who made Gone Home, Fulbright, are making a sci-fi game.
Yes, and it looks really, really cool. It looks way cooler than Gone Home did ever.
Oh, they are. They're making a sci-fi game.
They are. It's called Tacoma or something.
Tacoma, nice. Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird kind of game.
It was announced at the same sort of time that Soma released, if I remember correctly. So it sort of got overshadowed, but it looks a bit like Soma-ish, but in space. And
it's never mind.
It looks really cool, and I keep forgetting that it's coming out, but it looks radical, and I'm really excited. Because if they can create like the sort of same world that they did with Gone Home, but with a more interesting setting, like space, because space, I'm very, very interested and very, very excited.
I hope they can do a bit of
fear as well.
It'd be nice if we could see a little bit from the Chinese Room's next project too. I do like the Chinese Room.
Are they at work again already?
Sorry?
Are they at work again already? Because the last game wasn't far off, wasn't it?
I heard that they're up and working, that they're working on something new. The last one was released in August or something last year. So, they might not be ready to show it off, but they have announced that they are working on something.
I forgot something as well. CD Projekt Red's new game, Cyberpunk 20-something-something. I forget that it's still being worked on, and it looks awesome, and I'm so interested in seeing what they do with it, because Witcher 3 is one of the best games I've played ever.
Yeah. And
I'm very, very keen on that, and I hope they do it justice, because I am currently reading the book. And
it's been, 5 years since they announced that one? In the works. So,
yeah, they really went around some troubles with development, though. Not a lot of information has surfaced over those few years.
Yeah, it was pretty much just, hey guys, we're working on a thing that might come out at some point, and now it actually might come out at some point, and that's very interesting. And I'm very, very happy for that. I want them to succeed, because they try so hard.
I don't think we'll see that probably at the Sony. I mean, if we're going to see that anywhere, it might be the PC show that AMD
and whatnot. The PC game show,
yeah. So that might be where CD Projekt feels more comfortable, which would be cool. I guess in terms of the other developer, the major publishers that don't have an actual floor show but do work on games, a lot of games, we might see them at Sony or might not. There's Namco Bandai, which has Ni No Kuni 2 on the way, which I'm hoping we'll see at least a trailer of, which would be nice.
That'll be with Sony.
Please. Again. I'm saying that with my biggest smile. Please, please, please. Yeah.
And I think, Matt, we've missed out on the biggest possible thing in the world, but Persona 5.
That is going to be there for sure.
It's
going to
be at PS4. I'm going to be very, very happy and excited. I'm going to live tweet that nonsense.
Yeah. Is that exclusive to PS4?
It is. PS3 and PS4.
Well, PS3. Sony will give that one some time for sure.
Yeah, PS3.
Oh, yeah, there is a PS3 version, yes.
Which is wonderful. I think it's very, very clever of them, because they're not going to cut off an entire audience who doesn't really want to buy a PS4.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it.
Well, that's probably more for the Japan market, which has been slower to take up the PS4. And Persona 5 being a Japanese game and all that, a very focused on Japanese game, it might be... It was wise for Atlus to put it on PS3 as well.
And also, it's bloody Persona. Like, how are you going to say no to that?
I'll buy both. We've also got Koei Tecmo, who's going to be there in a big way. They've got a lot on the works, including a Warriors game, which based on a Western property, which they haven't announced yet, which they're going to announce at E3. So we can all start guessing on what that might be. There is rumor that it might just be Star Wars, which would be like the best thing ever.
Because it's essentially what you want from a Star Wars game. You want to cut through legions of stormtroopers
with a lightsaber. It'll be great. Yeah. And it would be so much better than a Battlefield stupid wolf. Anyway.
actually, having said that, though, I've been hearing rumors of a Guts game by the Koei Tecmo guys in the vein of Dynasty Warriors, which would be really, really cool. Berserk, not Guts. Sorry. I keep saying Guts because it's the name of the main character, but Berserk, is like sort of manga, I believe. And that'd be really, really cool. Because it's the inspiration for Bloodborne, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that...
and that excites me. Anything that is sort of reminiscent of Bloodborne makes me very, very happy. So I hope that they make that, because I will buy that Dynasty Warriors game set in Berserk. That'd be cool.
That yeah, I mean, Berserk's pretty dark and pretty violent, so that would be...
It. Yeah.
Koei Tecmo also has Nioh on the way, which is perhaps the best chance of a third-party publisher or another publisher doing a Dark Souls-like game justice as yet. It's, you know, the demo went down well with most people, so that we should see a little bit more about that as well as the release date. There's Toukiden 2, which is the Monster Hunter, Koei Tecmo's Monster Hunter game, which, depending on who you talk to, is actually better than Monster Hunter for some people.
I'm embarrassed about how many hours I've sunk into the first game. It's
gone past the point. You're a huge fan of it, aren't you?
No, it's gone past the point where I enjoy it. It's just like collecting the items to finish the game now. The main problem I have with the first game, I think, because I have a very like vanilla title, and then they released Kiwami, which is the expansion to that, was that there wasn't a lot of variety in monsters, and when you've beaten a monster the first time, it's like the next time is really just the same thing. It's going to use the same pattern. It's going to be exactly the same. It's going through the motions. Where in like Monster Hunter, they find some ways to add a bit of variety. Like they can jump around different stages. It feels different every time you play. And so maybe, hopefully, what I'd hope for in the second game is just more of that idea, like more of a dynamic experience. So it's not as formulaic, I think. And there's not as many kill this monster 15 times by doing the exact same thing to get the parts you need to move on to the next part of the game or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I preferred probably Toukiden a little bit just because I like the setting more. Monster Hunter is just, well, it doesn't really have as much of a context pulling it all together. But Toukiden certainly has the traditional Japanese setting going for it. So, yeah, I preferred that. And as long as they can build on that, I'll be pretty happy. Other than that, Koei Tecmo's got... What is it? What else is it working on? More Warriors games. We might find out about a new Dynasty Warriors. They've got a Dynasty Warriors Tactics game coming, which will be really cool.
Oh, I've seen that. That's going to be really great.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. I'm really looking forward to that, actually. I played the last Tactics game from Koei I played was Pokemon...
Pokemon Conquest,
Pokemon Conquest in the West, yes. Which was okay. I mean, it was, you know, it had issues, but it was the ideas were there. And I think one of the few genres the PlayStation 4 really lacks for at the moment is the tactics genre. So, you know, having a Dynasty Warriors tactics game on there would be a really nice touch. With any luck, we might see something Fatal Frame related. Oh, probably not, actually.
Yeah. Nintendo.
That's Nintendo, and Nintendo's not going to have anything to show on the NX. So we can assume Koei's probably working on another Fatal Frame game for the NX, but we're not going to see it.
Mm.
Which is annoying. And a Hyrule Warriors NX.
Oh, yeah.
Which will happen.
Yeah, it will. It made enough money that they'll make enough.
It'll be a port of the Wii U one, but with upgraded graphics, because that's how Koei works.
And a frame rate that's playable.
Yeah. The Wii one was right. I can't remember it ever stuttering on me.
No, it stuttered on me a couple of times, and that annoyed me to the point of just mass frustration. Because I'm a frame rate whore, basically. Yeah. And I cannot handle anything like that.
It's because you're a PC Master Race guy.
Yes. I was going to try and defend myself, but I couldn't.
I love how that somehow became an insult in this conversation. It's called someone the PC Master Race guy.
Yeah. Basically, yes. if they can do a Hyrule Warriors port, which works very well, then I'll be happy, because that game was actually really fun when it worked.
It was. It was good fun. I think Koei's got the Warriors formula down quite well now. It does some interesting stuff with it and does the various franchises that it works on really well. So, you know, if it's doing a Berserk game, then great. That game will be, you know, that Super it'll cool. do Berserk justice. If it ends up doing a Star Wars Warriors game, then that'll be better than EA's effort. And yeah, the next Samurai Warriors and Dinosaur Warriors games obviously be great. And yeah, Koei is not going to have a show, and probably won't be part of Sony's event either, but they'll be there at the floor and we'll probably see some interesting stuff from them. And then Tokyo Game Show is actually a bigger one for them anyway, so we'll see more about that from those guys in September.
I think that pretty much wraps up our sort of expectations of what E3 will become.
Yeah, absolutely. But so yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how much of that all that stuff comes true. I think overall we can probably say we're not expecting too many surprises, but it'd be nice to see some of the games that we've been looking forward to for the past year kind of much closer to completion. And other than that, I imagine we'll be talking about what we saw at next week's podcast. So until then, enjoy the E3 show. Let us know what you think. You can find us all on social media and all that. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's ish episode. So thanks for your time, Harvard. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.
And well, thanks as always, Alan.
No problems. I will sit here and be quiet about my PC Master Race.
Alan's the only one looking forward to the PC show.
It's really upsetting because it was so good last year.
Dinner League uploaded.